Ken, there has been a lot of litigation in various states around the country. If you could point to the top cases that you think are going to have a big impact in terms of voters having confidence in the integrity of this election we have coming up in just a couple of days.
Well, one of them was in Pennsylvania. It was the Third Circuit, which is the Federal Court of Appeals in Pennsylvania. It was the Third Circuit decision that really eliminated the whole Democrat effort to try to nitpick ballots at mail-in ballots using the Voting Rights Act. They wanted to say everything was material. That was the word, material. And that voter registration was something that they could challenge your state on and how they were doing it. And the Third Circuit, which is not a Republican circuit, rejected that. And that all sounds very messy, and it is very messy. But the bottom line is, it got rid of an entire line of a litigation attack that the left has been using to try to muddy up the ballot situation. And the reason that's important is they have a huge litigation advantage. And whenever you have a muddy situation, it gets resolved in courts. And they're trying to create the opportunities for lots more litigation. And the court rejected that in Pennsylvania at the appellate court level. And the Third Circuit is viewed as pretty authoritative on that. So I think that'll hold all around the country. And so far it has. So that's a big deal. But a bigger deal in the change since 2020, and this is the only nice thing I've ever had to say about the Republican National Committee. Literally, this is it. Since 2020, they have gotten in the game as it relates to offensive litigation. That means litigation that sues states like Secretary of State Benson in Michigan when they're not following their own laws. The Georgia Supreme Court recently ruled on a case out of the midterm election, the 2022 election. And what they said was, I thought, very valuable. They said, look, you're here in court complaining about the rules and you filed this after the election. Don't come whining to us after the election is over about something that you could have challenged before. Well, now, and for 4 years, the RNC, along with a lot of right of center groups, are challenging these states who are disobeying their own laws. One of the biggest problems in 2020 was states not obeying their own laws. And they're actually on offense. The Democrats have been doing this for 20 years, since 2004. And the Republicans just got into the game. And it's part of the reason we're so much better off as we head into Tuesday's election than we were 4 years ago in 2020. I'd give America a D grade on the 2020 election. I think we're up to about a C plus, B minus, depending on where you are. And Pennsylvania is right on the line there of C plus, B minus. So we obviously have a lot of work to do, but it's also obvious that we're doing much better than we were 4 years ago. And this litigation is a big part of it.
What is the SAVE Act, and how will that impact the integrity of the upcoming election?
So it will not affect the upcoming election. The SAVE Act, I think everybody knows, probably listening to you and me, that it is illegal for non-citizens to vote in our federal elections. What people may not realize is that there's virtually no way to enforce that, not effectively. The only state that has any system at all is Arizona. And the reason for this problem is because of some federal court rulings, including one issued by Justice Scalia as the main author. So you can't just say liberal judges. He literally read what was in statutes, and it restricts states' ability to check citizenship. So the SAVE Act was passed by the House under Chip Roy and his sponsorship and Speaker Johnson's leadership, who, to his credit, pushed it forward. It gives states all of the tools they need. A better way to think of it is it gets all the impediments out of the way for confirming citizenship for voters. And I'm sure most people listening are like, you got to be kidding me. This is controversial. Only five Democrats voted for it. All the rest voted against it. Well, why on earth would they vote against that? I think that's a very fair question that people may put to most of those Democrats. And Chuck Schumer hasn't brought it up in the Senate, thus it won't affect this election. And Joe Biden said he would veto it anyway. And you have to ask yourself, why would you veto actually making it enforceable to only have citizens voting in our elections? And I think that's a very legitimate question that probably only has one answer. And that is that they're not all that upset about the possibility of non-citizens voting in our elections.
That, however, causes a lot of people to shake their heads, as you've alluded to here, Ken.
Yeah.
We had another situation that developed here with Hurricane Helene, and it had a great impact. And as always, our thoughts and prayers go out to the people of North Carolina, Georgia, Amen. Florida. The recovery is underway. How do you see that impacting the election? Will those states be able to ensure that all the people in the hurricane-stricken areas will be able to cast their ballots?
My observation is that the answer to that is yes, everywhere except North Carolina. Governor Roy Cooper did such a bad job out of the box. And it's so bad. I know Roy Cooper. We served as attorneys general together. I was Virginia's while he was North Carolina's. I don't think he's that incompetent. I think this was intentional foot dragging, knowing very well that a slow recovery means you don't get to the voting piece quickly, because Maslow's hierarchy of needs, right? First, if you worry about where your family is going to get their next meal and tomorrow's meal and where are you going to sleep tonight, if you're worrying about those things, you're not really thinking about who you're voting for president. That's not a concern to you. And I think Roy Cooper took advantage of that. I think it's sad and pathetic and partisan and terrible, but it's the only explanation I've got. He's just not that incompetent. But there are going to be less votes in that swath of North Carolina. That is a Trump-heavy portion of North Carolina, save only for Asheville, but overall it's a Trump-heavy area. And in a state the president won by about 1.5% in 2020, he looks good now in polling, but I don't really trust polling. He's going to lose probably on net 5 or 10 or 20,000 votes out of that region, just people who just can't pull it off. He's going to have to make that up elsewhere in the state.
Well, everything, of course, appears to be on a razor's edge. We shall see here in really a matter of days, hours at this particular point. We have been talking with Ken Cuccinelli. He is national chairman of the Election Transparency Initiative. Ken, tell us a bit about the Election Transparency Initiative. Also, where can folks go to find you on the web?
On the web, we're at electiontransparency.org, and people can follow me at the Free Bird on Twitter at Ken Cuccinelli. We have been working for 3.5 years, really since the beginning of 2021, all over the country to improve election security, transparency, thus our name, auditability, and with an ultimate goal of giving all Americans a system that they can be confident in the outcome and that it's obvious that they can be confident of it, thus the transparency emphasis in our name. We believe you should be able to see literally everything in your election process except how your neighbors mark their ballots.
Well, let us hope that this time around the outcome is definitive and accepted by all, and your efforts have paid off. Ken Cuccinelli, Ken, as always, thank you for being with us.
My pleasure.